Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you are our God, that you love us, that you care for us. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you would be with us today, that we would understand your word better, and that we would understand you better, that we would go forward, and that we would be more like you, that we would follow you, Jesus, and that we would love people. In Jesus' name, amen. Most of you know that we here at Hoffman Street Baptist Church, we value the scripture highly. And that we understand the scripture by the example of Jesus. So we're going to do something, we are doing something a little bit different from what we normally do. We normally go through books of the Bible, verse by verse, passage by passage. But we are doing a series right now that is a little different from that. It is a series called Bible Passages We Ignore or Misuse. And so one of the things that we do is we want to look at these passages that we have a tendency to ignore or misuse so that we can get a better understanding of what God is calling us to, of what God has for us. Because if we ignore and misuse Scripture, then we're not following Jesus and loving people the way that he wants us to. One of the things I do want to start out with is there are some things about baptism that we as a church get really well. One of which is we say, no, you cannot be saved by baptism. It's right on. That's completely with Scripture that you can be saved and you do not have to be baptized to enter into heaven. Now, a natural outworking of being saved is that you will want to be baptized because you will want to follow Jesus. You will want to follow in the example of Jesus. But we look at Scripture and we see the thief on the cross that's next to Jesus, and Jesus never baptizes him. He's a thief. He says, I'm guilty. And so Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. So you don't have to be baptized to be saved. If you are saved, you will probably want to be baptized. Another thing that we as a church get really well about baptism is that baptism is by immersion. Baptism actually means to immerse, to fully submerge in water. And the reason that doing immersion or fully submerging someone in water is so important is, one, that's the way that Jesus was baptized. And two, it shows that we are being cleaned, that we are being purified, that we are being washed clean. And what it is it's an outward expression. It's an outward way that we can show that we have been washed clean by Jesus. It's not the baptism that washes us clean, it's the sacrifice of Jesus. But we're saying out to the world, I have been saved by Jesus. I have been washed clean by Jesus and his sacrifice. So with that being kind of put out there so that we can be thinking about what God has for us, we are going to turn in our Bibles to Ephesians 4:4 through 4:6. And what he says here is there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. Verse 5 says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all. So one of the things that we want to see is that Paul here in Ephesians, as he's writing to the Ephesian church, the focus is on the unity of all those who are adopted into the family of God by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the focus is not, all right, we are going to have one type of baptism over here and one type of baptism over here. And if you're not baptized by this particular group, or if you're not, the focus here is on the unity of believers. The focus here is on the fact that just as there's one Jesus, just as there's one God the Father, just as there's one faith, just as there's one hope, there is one baptism. And so the baptism is not merely into the local body of believers, but it's into the family of Jesus. When we get baptized, what it's showing is that God has loved us and God has brought us to him, and that just as we are giving our lives fully over to Jesus to be cleaned, to be changed, to be transformed, we are being cleaned and transformed and cared for by Jesus. And so as we are flooded with water, we are also being cleaned by Jesus and brought into his family. Sometimes we have a tendency to think that baptism is primarily into the local body of believers. That does not line up with Scripture. It doesn't. I know that that is what most of us have been taught. What I want you to know is that actually comes from a thought process, an idea that is called landmark baptism. And the idea is that we can keep doctrinal purity, that we can make sure that all our theology and all of our understanding of God is pure and right by the fact that we have been baptized by this line of people that finds its origin, that finds its direct nature in the Apostle Peter. Somehow that has infiltrated Baptist belief and Baptist theology, which is so funny because Baptists, by and large, have a tendency to have an issue with Catholics. It's not something that's good about us, but it is the truth. Often, Baptists have a tendency to have a problem with Catholics. There are some things we disagree with Catholics on. Many of them are brothers and sisters, just like many Baptists are brothers and sisters in Christ. But the idea is that all baptisms must come from a line from the Apostle Peter. And by doing that and making sure that that happens, we can keep doctrinal purity, or we can have our theology in the right place, done the right way. And one of the things that I want you to see, that it is not this landmark baptism. It's not about specifically being baptized into the local church, that it's being baptized into Christ, is in Acts chapter 8 with the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, the Ethiopian eunuch is a man that is traveling along the road. And Philip, a follower of Jesus, is out and an angel appears to him and says, I want you to go and I want you to go down to the road and I want you to be there. And so he goes down to this road and he finds an Ethiopian eunuch coming along in a caravan. So Philip goes and he approaches the caravan. He goes up and he sits with the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Ethiopian eunuch has the Old Testament scriptures out in front of him and he's reading those. And so Philip asks the question, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian eunuch responds, how can I know unless someone teaches me? Unless someone shares with me what it means. So Philip goes through and he explains what the passage means, and talking about the fact that Jesus is our perfect sacrifice, that Jesus loves us so much. And so on page 596 in your Pew Bibles, verse 35 starts with, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? Verse 37 says, and Philip said, if you believe with all of your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. What I want you to see here is that baptism is a response to belief in Jesus Christ. What we see here is baptism is a response to the fact that Jesus has brought us into his family based on belief in him. It's announcing to the world, I am part of God's family, God's big family. God's greater than this tiny location family. And the reason why I'm pointing this out, the reason why we're looking at this from this particular passage, is the only believer the Ethiopian eunuch knew was Philip. And what God did was, as soon as Philip had baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, the Spirit of God carried Philip away. The Ethiopian eunuch was not brought into a local family of God. Instead, he went on and would have become a missionary in his home area, to the best of our understanding. Baptism is about unity with Jesus. And what we are going to see is that we have a tendency to make baptism an area of disunity within the body of Christ. Some of you may have heard that when Scripture refers to the church, it is referring to local churches, local gatherings, body of believers. And most of the time in Scripture, that is true. But there are about, I think it's 27 times when it is referring to the larger body of believers, all of those a long time, a long place, a long everywhere, that are saved by the sacrifice of Jesus. I don't have, I've got a things talking about the scripture in 1 Corinthians, and what we see is what is important here is the unity of Jesus. The unity of Jesus' people. 1 Corinthians 1, beginning in verse 10, says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you. My brothers, what I mean is this, that each of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, which is Peter, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And he goes on to say, I'm glad that I didn't baptize any of you. And then he goes, except so-and-so. And then God reminds him of another family. And he's, but yeah. His focus is, you're not baptized into me. When you get baptized, you are not baptized into Jesus. You are baptized into Jesus. You are not baptized into me. You are not baptized into just this local church, but the entire broader spectrum of believers throughout all time in history, everyone who has placed their faith in Jesus. And what I want you to see is that there is something amazing that comes from this. When we are hanging out with believers who go to a different church, who are a part of a different denomination, we can have unity because Jesus loves us. And we have all been baptized into the same baptism, into the same faith. It is all about Jesus. Jesus, who loves us so much that he died on the cross in our place. Our God is amazing that he left the perfectness of heaven and lived a sinless, painful life, the life that we couldn't live, died the death that we should have died, and rose again on the third day so that we can have hope and expectation. Not that hope where you just kind of cross your fingers and I hope this happens. But the kind of hope that is like, yes, this is gonna happen. God has promised. God is a God who keeps his promises. And it is an opportunity for us to get beyond the walls that we have a tendency to do. We have a tendency to be divisive. Exactly what Paul was talking against in this 1 Corinthians 1 passage. It is all about Jesus. It is all about Jesus. He loves each and every one of you so much. It's not about me. It's not about my teaching. It's not just about this local church. We as Christians sometimes have a tendency to have too narrow of a mind, and we think it's all about our local church. And how sad it is that we don't have a kingdom focus. That we are, yeah, we're going to disagree. Some of you are sitting here disagreeing with this sermon. It's going to happen. But what I want you to see is that the goal that Jesus has for us is to be united together. He wants us to have love for one another. Our God is amazing. If you don't get anything else from this sermon, I want you to get that our God loves you so much that he died on the cross in your place. And all he's saying is, give your sin over to me, commit yourself to me, and you can have everlasting life. And it is that selflessness, that sacrifice that those of us who are Christians, we are called to follow Jesus and love people in such a way that it's not about us. It's not just about our particular theology. It's not about just our local church, but it is about Jesus and his kingdom that he is building. Jesus promised to his disciples, he said, I will build my church. And so as we look at the sacrifice of Jesus, we have this wonderful opportunity to be spurred on to love each other. How amazing is that? How wonderful is it that the God who created the universe loves little bitty you and me so much that he did that? And it is that love that is to overflow in us so that we want to, like Philip, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and share the truth of Jesus with others. So it's Jesus' love inspires us to remain united even when we disagree. It is Jesus' love that spurs us on to share his love with others. And so I have a challenge for each of you today. Over this next week, listen to the Holy Spirit and share your faith with at least two people. Now, I want you to understand that sharing your faith does not necessarily mean knocking on somebody's door and saying, if you die tonight, do you know where you're going to go? I was at this conference this last week and I heard the most wonderful description of what it means to share your faith. That when you walk away from that conversation, you leave them knowing a little more about Jesus than they did before the start of the conversation. It's not about forcing or bullying anyone to pray a prayer. It is about following Jesus in his love for people. And just as he shared the good news with us, we get to share the good news of his love with others. So that is my challenge for you this week. I want each of us to bring at least two people a little closer in knowing Jesus, to know a little bit more about him over this next week. Can you guys do that for me? Well, don't do it for me, do it for Jesus. I misspoke. It's all about Jesus. It's all about his love for us. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much that you love us, that you care for us. And Jesus, we ask you would be working in our lives, that you would be caring for us, that we would be giving everything to you, and that we would walk out of this room more united based on you and what you have done than we have ever been before. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be reminding us throughout the week to find two people who don't know Jesus and to leave them knowing a little bit more about who you are and your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.